Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 85. Psalm chapter number 85, we'll be looking today. Today, and then by the way, before I get started, I got another text from Ms. Hicks a while ago, and they're starting an IV drip on Brother Hicks for about 4 hours to give him some potassium. After that, they still are going to be able to go home, but they're not going home as soon as they thought they was. So isn't it wonderful we can keep up with one another this day and age with texting and various things, and I appreciate it. It was good to hear from her. Appreciate you being here today. The message I'm about to bring is one that probably some of you, when I begin, is probably going to say, well, you know, revival's over. And I hope that's not the case. It truly is a sad day if we had a revival meeting and then we come Sunday and say revival's over. Friend, revival is never over if it's real revival. And so today, probably a message that I would normally preach before revival, I'm going to preach at the conclusion of revival, because I believe this week hearts have been touched. I believe lives have been changed. I believe decisions have been made. I've seen many of you come to the altar about certain different things, and I pray by the grace of God that we'll all fulfill whatever it is, whatever decision we made, to do what God would have us to do. But I'm going to just give you a little bit of a pep talk this morning, if I could, to try to encourage you to continue to be faithful to God. And may we see the direct results of revival. And today, again, the message I bring today is probably not going to be necessarily an easy one, because there's some things that I feel is important that I say. And I will say it, but I believe today that we need to understand that America is in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. Our homes are in a mess. And we're just in a mess in general. And unless God gets back in our lives to the way that He needs to be, we're going to be in the biggest mess we've ever seen in our entire life. And I thank the Lord today for the opportunity we have to serve Him. But if you have your Bibles, Psalm 85, I'll begin by reading verse number 4. Here we find the psalmist speaking. He said, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" And then he said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Our Father, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. Lord, I do pray now that you would bless. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, that you'd give me the words, the wisdom, the help, the strength I need to declare the word of God today. And Father, today there's some things that I know is said, will be said. And a lot of times, people, we've gotten softened and we've gotten away from the truth of the word of God and understanding what you would have us to do. But I ask now that you'd help me, guide my words, and Lord, I pray that your will be done here today in Jesus' name. We ask and pray. Amen. When I think about this passage of Scripture, I read in verse number 4, he said, "Turn us, O God, our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease." Now, I cannot stand the thought of thinking that God is mad at me. I can't stand the thought of thinking basically that anybody's mad at me. I don't want people mad at me, and I don't want to be mad at people. But friend, when God gets involved, it's serious business. Yet today you say, well, why in the world would a God of love be angry? A God of love would be angry because, as the writer had given to us today, by the way, I call this the prayer of a patriot. I wanted to call it the prayer of your pastor, but I didn't write it, so I couldn't say that. And so I changed it back and made it the prayer of a patriot. Here's a man of God that he's praying. He wanted his nation to turn from their disobedience and their degradation and their disillusion, and to understand they had to turn away from that, or either face death in their life or face a curse that God would bring upon them because of their sin. Need not to think today that we can sin and get by. Be sure your sins will find you out. And understand today that as we serve God, as we're faithful to Him, there's consequences for not doing right. And I believe today, in general, in America today, we're on a collision course that I believe is going to lead to disaster if God doesn't intervene and if revival doesn't come. You say, we're just a small church. What difference are we going to make? Let me tell you what, it takes a whole lot of churches to make a huge difference, but we can make a difference where we are in doing what God would have us to do. I remember the illustration. Years ago, I used this. I remember the message coming to an admiral one night. night, late in the night, and the boat hand, or whatever you would call him there, the sailor came to him and said, "Sir," he said, "we've spotted a bright light in front of us, and it's coming right toward us." And the admiral said to him, he said, "What is your instruction?" He said, "You tell them, you get on the radio, and tell them to alter their course 30 degrees south." So he went and did it, and so any minute he come back, and he said, "I did." And he said, "They come back and said, you alter your course 30 degrees north." And so this made the admiral very angry and mad. And so he told the seaman that was with him, he said, "You go tell them that I'm an admiral, and I said to alter your course 30 degrees south." And so the man did what he said. And when he come back, he said, "What'd he say?" And he said, "To tell you that he was a second class seaman. And he said, alter your course 30 degrees to the north." Well, this really infuriated him. He said, "You tell him that this is a battleship, and he needs to alter his course by 30 degrees south." The fellow went and did it, and he came back and said, "What'd he say?" He said, "Tell you, he's a lighthouse, and you better alter your course by 30 degrees north." He was headed for a collision. And I want to remind you this morning, God is our lighthouse. And I tell you, America is getting so far away from God that I'm afraid we're headed straight. We're headed straight to hopefully as Christians, we're headed straight to God. But understand, everybody's going to stand before God and give an account of their life. And today, I want you to know that God is the lighthouse, and God's not moving. And friend, today it's America and it's churches, and it's people like you and I that have come to the point anymore to where we're not sensitive to the truth of the Word of God. And I hope today that I can share with you just for a few moments a few thoughts that might encourage you, that would be a help to you. There was a great evangelist I've read behind some. His name was Hyman Appleman. He was an evangelist. He was born in Russia, and he was a Jewish man who trusted Christ as his Savior. And recently, because he's been dead a while, but Hyman Appleman, here's what he said. He said, "Revival is perhaps the most sinned against word in the English language." And you know, I'd have a tendency to agree. Let's have revival. You come into revival. We had a revival. Friend, today, everybody that says they had a revival haven't had a revival. And everybody that came to the revival, all of them didn't come to get revival. Thank God some do. But we have a mess today. That word has been shop-worn, abused, and misused. And many people don't even know what they're talking about when they talk about revival. And so today, I want to share with you a few thoughts and be a help to you, I hope, today as we look at it from the Word of God. Verse number 6, "Will thou not revive us again, that we may rejoice in thee?" The first thing I want you to notice this morning is a plea for revival. Notice there, he said, "Will thou not revive us again?" Now, the encouraging part is revive us again, meaning that there's life in us to be revived. It means that everybody that is born again and saved by the grace of God and on their way to heaven, they have within them the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they don't always follow Him, they don't always obey Him, they don't always do what He would have them to do, and as a result of that, we get to the point to where we get further and further away from God. And truly today, if there's anything that's more, there's nothing that's more important with us today than loving God and serving God and being faithful to God in all that we do. And here we find this psalmist, he's praying, he's pleading, literally, if you would, he's pleading for revival. And friend, that's what I'm praying for, and that's what I'm pleading for, and that's what I'm hoping and praying today, that what we'll see as a result of what transpired here the last few days in our midst is that we'll see a changed people with a desire to serve God like never before. If we go on continuing the way we are, if we go on in the same direction that we've been going, friend, it's not going to be revival. This church is not going to grow. We're not going to see people saved. And God will not continue to bless us if we continue in our sinful ways, defying the very thing that God has given to us according to the Word of God. When we get revived, we'll have a soul-saving revival. Brother Tim mentioned this week, he said, "I'd like to come back sometime when we could just bring in lost people and I could preach the Word of God to them." I remember the man that preached John 3:16 for four or five Sundays in a row, and they finally went to him and said, "Why are you preaching John 3:16 every week? Why don't you preach something else?" He said, when you get John 3:16, I'll move on to something else. And friend, listen, getting people that are lost saved is the most important business, but getting people that are out of the will of God and away from God and getting right with God is more important, because when that happens, we'll begin to see God work in and through us to help reach those that are here. What's wrong with us? We have liberalism. We have an anemic, educated, polished brand of ministers in many churches that have no backbone and will not stand and preach the truth of the Word of God. My friend, there's places in the Bible that may offend you, and if they do, I make no apology for it. I just tell you what God said. It's not my message, but it's God's message to you, and if we want to do what God would have us to do, we need to get right with Him. We find today that it's substituted in our culture. We have what's substituted for Calvary. I still believe in the old rugged cross, don't you? I believe Jesus died and bled on that old rugged cross in order that we might have salvation. But what we've got today is humanistic thoughts about God or about the Word of God, and they've changed it to suit their doings, and they said, we got to do this to get a bigger crowd, and we got to do this in order that we... No, listen, to get a bigger crowd and to see God work, what we need is the power of God upon our lives, that we'll get sold out for Him and understand that this is just a passing through place, and one day we're going to spend eternity with Him forever and ever, and today is the day that we need to be busy in serving Him. Not only that, and I've often said it, many of the cults of our day, when I say cult, somebody that teaches salvation, something that is apart from what the Word of God says. We've got cults today, they're more faithful than we are. They don't mind knocking on doors. They don't mind telling people what they believe. And by the way, they know what they believe. They've been indoctrinated, and they know it well. And yet today, we better get some preachers and some men of God that will stand and declare the Word of God in order that they might hear it. Many kids today in the school system, they're learning about many things, but they're not learning about the most important things. Somebody said the other day they quit teaching history in school. God help us today. They want to do away with history. You know why? Because history proves that our nation was founded on God. It proves that we're one nation under God. And these men that framed the Constitution of the United States were men who loved God, saved by the grace of God, and depended on God for His wisdom and His guidance in all they do. But in our school today, many people are heading in all kind of direction. We've got socialism coming in, and I'm telling you, it's coming. If we don't wake up and understand, it's going to be here. But who's going to fight against it? Who's going to stand against it? It's going to have to be people that have been revived, that God has stirred and challenged in order that we might do and be what God would have us to do and be. Many of our school children in school today are learning many, many things that we never learned, thank goodness. But they're also not learning many things that we did learn, and that's unfortunate. I'm glad today for the godly heritage that we had. But I don't believe today it's going to be very hard today in our society for things to be. And by the way, listen, we used to talk about communism. I'm telling you, this socialism is going to amount to communism. And I believe it's going to be hard for communism and Christianity to exist in the same place. And you know what that's going to result in? It's going to be resulted in us being told we cannot worship God and we can't preach the Word of God. They're already trying to tell us that, even in this day. I want you to know we're facing liberalism, cultism, communism, socialism, but I tell you the one that's getting us the most is materialism. I tell you today we find everything in the world, and listen, I appreciate what Brother Tim said this week. Thank God we've been blessed, and I believe God wants us to be blessed by giving us things, because the Bible says that God loves us and He cares about us and He blesses us with many things. But can I submit to you today, He does that, but He does that in order that we might follow Him and be obedient to Him and love Him rather than love the things that He's given to us. Friend, today heaven and earth may pass away, but He said, my word will not pass away. Thank God, at least for now, my bills and my billfold, I don't have many in there, but the ones I got, they have in God we trust. Amen. I tell you today, I don't know how long it'll be, but I tell you it ought not to be in God we trust, but that ought to be not only on our money, but it ought to be in our hearts. We don't have no problem parting with that money, do we, sometimes? Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't, especially if it's something we want. But I tell you what, when we got in God we trust inscribed in our heart, it'll make all the difference in the world as we walk and serve Him. We find all the moral degradation and filth. I cannot believe what's happening in America. Rarely do you hear preachers that'll stand in a pulpit and say anything about it. I'm not trying to be mean. I tell you, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm just telling you today, it's a sad state in which we live. I was reading a book the other day, and I read about a man by the name of Dick Marker, and he wrote this book, and here's what he said. He's a preacher now. He said, rock concerts are not exactly my bag. Usually, you would expect to see them packed with kids, not a group of preachers. But because we were given the free tickets by a group who wanted to know what was going on, and he goes on and tells the other man's name, he said, I attended a KISS concert in Plasmastic concert somewhere in Amarillo Civic Center, I don't know when, probably a long time ago. I'll just kind of briefly summarize what he said. He said they went in there, and he said what they found is even a lady on stage that was barely clothed. And then we found that he said they were singing, and the reason he did this is to write a book. I don't know that I would have wanted to have done that, went into that place, but obviously he gives me insights that I would have not seen otherwise. But he said he went in, and there was a lady there, as I already said, and he said there was dope going on. They were passing one to the other, anybody that wanted to get some of it. He said while they were there, somebody took a lighter fluid and sprayed it on the back of somebody and set them on fire. And the guy, the KISS guy, whoever it was that was up there, he said, hey, he said, if you want to set somebody on fire, he said, don't set other people on fire, set yourself on fire. He said, in fact, if you'd like, we'd love for you to come up on the stage and set yourself on fire so we could watch you burn. He said the kids, many of them, was out of their mind. He said in the bathrooms there was blood all over the floor, and there was all kind of things going on. He said he started out the door, and there was a man recognized him at the ticket booth. He said, preacher, what are you doing here? He said, I just come to see what was going on. He said, I'm shocked. I'm amazed. And that ticket guy said, man, he said, go back and tell your parents not to let their children come to these things. And he said there were 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-old children in the midst of all that that was going on. You tell me we haven't gotten away from God. And I tell you, we're living in a day. And I'm not suspecting, I'm not saying anybody in here would even be affected by that. But I hope if you ever have a thought to be affected by it, you would think twice about going in situations like that. It's everywhere, and people are turning away. I believe even our day may be worse than it was in the day in which the psalmist wrote, Lord, will thou not revive us again? And today, truly, we need revival in our midst. Second of all, the possibility of revival. Notice the second thing I want you to notice is not only the plea, but the possibility. Somebody says to me, preacher, I just don't think we can have revival anymore. I think God's through. Let me tell you something. God is not through until the trumpet sounds and he calls us home to be with him. And until he does, we need to be faithfully proclaiming the word of God and reaching out and trying to help people the best we can in order that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know preachers today that have given up and said, preacher, it's no use. We can't do it. We can't reach them. We're not going to reach them. And he's right. I tell you, I've come to that conclusion too. But I tell you, I serve a God who can, and I still believe in him, and I believe he's able to do what we're not able to do. A fellow said he had studied the history of revival, and he said he found out that God, in his gracious mercy, has sent revival in the darkest times and fulfilled the scriptures according to Romans chapter 5. You know what the Bible says in Romans 5? It said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And friend, tonight, for example, if you remember Israel, the example of the revival of Israel in Mount Carmel when Elijah was in God's prophets, they had revival, amen? 450 prophets of God hidden in the cave, but the worship of Baal was the worship of the day, and wicked Ahab and wicked Jezebel was on the throne, and they brought it all in. You know the story, how God sent fire down from heaven. We saw God answer by fire, and he said, if your God be God, let him be God. But if my God be God, let him be God. And friend, I tell you today, America needs to see God working in such a way that we could say to them, you can serve your God if you want to serve him, but he's a God of doing nothing. But you can serve our God that is a God of doing something if we put our faith and trust in him. You remember the priest of Baal prayed to their pagan God, but to no avail. You remember Elijah, he prayed and he said, Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that I am thy servant and I have done all these things according to thy word. You remember another revival? There's another revival in the Bible, a most unusual revival, one the evangelist didn't want to go. In fact, he wanted to do something else. He did not want to go. In fact, he was still mad after everybody in the city got saved. His name was Jonah. And God told Jonah to get over there to Nineveh, but Jonah got on a ship going somewhere else. You know the rest of the story. But God sent him back. He hit the ground running, and he went and preached the word of God, and the whole city of Nineveh got saved. And like I said, he still had a problem, but I'm sure God worked all that out. But there's a revival that came to those people in that day. You think of the revival that took place in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Man, can you imagine what was happening there? The Bible says that they were together and all those souls were saved. And my, what a blessing it was that it came. And Peter preached. Peter, the same one that had followed afar off, the same one that had denied him, the same one that ignored him. But obviously he had had a revival. And when he preached, the people had a revival and 3,000 souls were saved. Man, I tell you what, when revival comes, we may not see, well, we could. We may not see 3,000 in one day. But I guarantee you, people will start getting saved when the power of God falls in our hearts and lives in our church, and we get serious about this matter of serving God, sharing our faith, and worshiping Him in all that we do. I remember the Dark Ages. You know, little is known about the Dark Ages. The Word of God was virtually unknown. Few people ever had a Bible. And probably the boys and girls in our Sunday school class know, well, I'm sure they know more now than even those in the Dark Ages did. But God raised up a man. His name was Martin Luther. And God raised up others. What is called the Protestant Reformation was probably one of the greatest revivals that was ever known. In the 18th century, there was a revival under a man named Charles Wesley. I tell you, he was a Methodist, but great revival came. People's lives were changed, hearts were stirred, and things happened. Friend, what are you saying today? I'm just simply saying today, it's possible to have revival if we're willing to trust God and allow God to work in our lives and through us. We find also the revival that took place some years ago in Indonesia. They said so mighty was the revival that miracles were the order of the day. Think of the revival that came to Wales, where the Welsh revival, thousands were swept into churches. I tell you, revival came. One man said, it's swept in here like an unexpected tornado. People coming in their boats, fishermen would fall upon conviction as they would draw nigh to the shore. So great was the power of God hovering over the land. The jail doors were left unlocked because there were no prisoners. They had to lay off police force. Old debts were paid. Multitudes were swept into the kingdom of God. Alcoholics were made sober. Criminals were reformed. And Wales was changed and set aglow for Jesus Christ. Oh, today that we pray, will thou not revive us again? Somebody said there is no hope. Friend, the only time there's not going to be hope is when we allow the time of our life to slide by without selling out to the Lord Jesus Christ to give ourselves to Him, to serve Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. Thirdly and quickly, the program for revival. What's the program for revival? I want you to see that not only the plea for revival, the possibility, but there's the program. Verse 4, what does he say? He says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger to cease. Now look again at verse 6. Will thou not revive us again? So to whom does he refer? He's talking about God's people. It's what he's talking about. Let me tell you where the problem is today. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being mean. Don't take offense to it. I mean, unless you're guilty. But we're all guilty. But I'm going to tell you where the problem lies in America today. It's not in Washington. It's in the home, right. But I tell you, it's in the church before it's in the home. And that's why the home's in a mess then, because our churches are in the mess they're in, because we've not preached the Word of God. The power of God has not fallen upon people. We take it as something that we just need to do. We go through the motions. But yet the problem is today, God's looking for people that would be sold out to love Him and serve Him with all the heart and all their soul. If you love somebody, you ought to want to spend time with them, right? If you love somebody, you ought to want to do what they would want you to do. You remember I did preach this a week before the revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then shall they hear from heaven. So reckon why we haven't heard from heaven. It's because we've not turned, many of us, from our wicked way. We're still going in the same direction we've always went. Friend, if there's ever a time, we've had meeting over 32 years. We've had revival. We've had revival. We've had mission conference. We've had everything. But friend, what we need is to allow this revival that we just had to turn us upside down for Jesus Christ in order that we would serve Him. Sometimes our prayers is nothing more than just a smoke screen. We want God to bless our America. We pray it, God bless America. And when He don't, we say, why? Because He said, and turn from your wicked way. You see, today, God, we've been seeking the hand of God. We want God to do something. But I'm going to tell you the way God works. God has power to do anything He wants to. This morning, He could have had so many people here that we'd have had to, I don't know what we'd have done. We'd have found something. We'd have had to put some over there watching the fellowship hall and some out in the foyer. And when I give the invitation, we would send 20 people down the altar to get saved or more. God could do that without us doing anything. God could do that, but He's not. Because God's chosen us to be the instruments that He uses to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And friend, until we get the power of God upon our shoulders and in our hearts and in our lives, we're not going to see the blessings of God in our church. We're not going to see the blessings of God in our home. We're not going to see the blessings of God. In other words, you know what He's saying? He said we need to turn. We need to turn back to God and understand today, He said He will forgive our sin. And then lastly this morning, the product of revival. Now, there's just one other thing I want to show you, and I'll be finished. I want you to see the product of revival. He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now that's important, because I know, you said, I know what the prodigal revival is. Prodigal revival is folks getting saved when we get right with God, and ultimately that is one reason. So many times we want revival for revival's sake. Boy, if we had a good revival meeting, everybody in town would be talking about us. If we had a good revival meeting, everybody would just be thinking, if they see things going on, they'd think, listen, wrong reason have revival. Some want revival for America's sake. I mean, that seems to be a good desire, but I don't believe that's really what he said the meaning is. We want revival sometime for even for denomination's sake. We want revival for the church's sake. But why don't we have it? We come to the place where we want to rejoice in Him. That's when we'll have revival. He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus and told him how good He was? And told him that He'd save their soul just like He saved yours, if you'd listen. Oh boy, we talk about things that are in the world. They're important to us, and there's nothing wrong with them. But yet today, we need to turn to the point of understanding. He said that my people might rejoice in thee. Friend, when we... Illustration. I know I probably burnt the bridge with this, and some of you are probably tired of hearing it, but it's just a good illustration, and you just got to use it when you become a grandparent. I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, what I do is I rejoice in my grandchildren, just like anybody would. And they ought to. And I tell you, I talk about them. I show you pictures even if you don't want to see them. I've got videos, and if any of you want to see them at church, I got plenty of time. I don't mind. You know what? I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that sincerely because that is my heart. Them kids, I love them more than anybody will ever know, and all grandparents should feel that way, and I know they do. But the thing about it is, could we not get bubbly about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He not the one that gave His Son to die on the cross for our sin? You see, before we can rejoice in thee, there must be weeping. The Bible said in Isaiah 38, verse 5, "I've seen thy tears. I've heard thy prayers." Friend, we don't see people getting broken up anymore about the things of God and about serving God. In fact, we come in dry-eyed and we leave dry-eyed, and we're never convicted about the way that we're living and the things we're doing. The Bible said in Psalm 51, verse 17, "A broken and a contrite spirit thou wilt not despise, O God." I tell you, if we want to rejoice in God and we want to see revival, it's going to take some weeping. fortunately, I know, shows my age, because it's probably been a long time since you've seen it. But when I was a little boy, I saw people at an altar weeping and crying out to God for their children, for their husbands, for their family, and for their friends, and praying and asking God to help them. I've seen that more times than I could tell you back in the old day. I'm talking about back in the old day. I'm referring to the old church over at Eastside where I used to go, the old church. I remember it. Had the baptistry under the platform. I remember it. But I remember in that old building. But it seemed like, and this is not a knock against them, it's anything, but it seemed like when we moved in that new building, just seemed like something was lost. And I'm afraid today that it's carried over, not there, but everywhere, that we've gotten to the point anymore, it's very seldom that we weep or the erring one or lift up the falling. The second thing we find is reaping. You see, reaping is seeing souls saved. God wants to save them. He wants them to put their faith and trust in Him. And the Bible said, He that goeth forth and weepeth, man bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When we go forth with tears, we'll come back with joy. You said, preacher, I've been praying a prayer for a long time, and God had answered my prayer. I don't know this. I believe God sometimes, he puts us off and waits. Maybe it's not God's will at His time. And I don't know the mind of God. I'm not trying to say that. But have you ever thought that maybe we're just not as sincere as we ought to be to see the blessings of God fall? I'm talking about, you know, not worrying about what we're going to do this afternoon, but worrying about what we're going to do right now as we hear the Word of God being preached. But then lastly, the rejoicing. Three things: weeping, reaping, and rejoicing. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a season, but joy cometh in the morning. The psalmist prayed, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" I want you to know today what revival is. Listen today. If you never trusted Christ as your Savior and you don't know today you go to heaven, you don't need to be revived. You need to be raised from the dead. And I don't mean that to be cute, curt, or smart. I mean today, the Bible said if we're lost, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. You need to get saved. But if you're here today and you're saved and you say, man, I've been at the meeting this week and God really dealt with my heart, but I realize that it makes no difference. It makes no difference what I heard. If I don't put it into practice in my life, if my life don't change, if actions don't change, then we're not going to see revival at Victory Baptist Church. And I beg you this morning, I plead with you, my desire, my prayer is for revival. I tell you, I don't want to see it. Somebody said, well, you just want to have revival so you'd be a big name preacher. I'll never be a big name preacher. I'm just fortunate God lets me stand in this pulpit every week and preach the Word of God. I care nothing about it. And I tell you, if I was to leave tomorrow and somebody else come in here and revival broke out and people got saved, I'd be down here shouting with you because I don't care. It ain't about me and it's not about you, but it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, what are you going to do with the knowledge that you gained this week from revival? Those of you that was here, if you wasn't here, you didn't get it. But those that were here and able to be here, and I understand some can't, but if you were here and you got it, would you determine today, God, I hope this message just tops off the confirmation of what God would have you to do. And I plead with you today, and I plead with God, wilt thou not revive us again? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the power to enable me to stand and preach this morning. Lord, as any pastor, it gets tiring sometimes to preach and see no results. But Lord, today I'm praying that what we had this week will change our lives. Lord, it comes not easy. We know that it'll come, though, if we'll put our faith and trust in you. Lord, I ask now today that you would guide and direct us. Pray that you give us wisdom, strength, and help. And I pray today that your name would be exalted. But Lord, I pray today that there'd be some that would step out of their pew. They don't have to tell me nothing. If they like to, I'd be glad to pray with them. But Lord, I pray there'd be some folks in our church that would be willing to kneel at this altar and cry out to God and said, I'm tired of revival meetings. I want revival. I want to see God move in our midst. I want to quit being occupied by everything else in the world. And I want to love my God, the one that saved me. In Jesus' name, amen.